you, worship team. Wait for a moment for everybody to grab a seat real quick. Father, we ask you just to touch our hearts in a new way, even now, Holy Spirit. I ask you to visit us. Lord, more than just remind us intellectually, strike our hearts, mark our hearts, even now, we ask. Lord, as your eyes look over this room of people and how tender and how dear they are to you and how many have said yes and they've stayed with it, some for a few years, some for many years. And Lord, I thank you for that. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. Touch us now. Amen. Well, this is our fourth session. And I'm calling this a procession to the stadium, chariots in the sands of time. And this is the most dramatic supernatural encounter I've ever had. I'll break it down in a few moments, but I'm not telling it to you because it's dear to me. I'm telling it to you because it's about you and your children. Because the message was about young people that were coming in the days to come. That's the core message. Paragraph A, on July 3rd, 1984. Bob Jones, he came to me after this encounter, and he was just literally trembling. He said, it happened. He goes, I saw the Lord. And I used to always ask Bob, did you have a dream? I always wanted to understand it. Was it a dream you were sleeping or a vision in your mind? That's legit. But an open vision like a movie screen, that's a little more intense. Was it an audible voice you're awake or an audible voice when you're sleeping? And Bob would always laugh. And he would say on these real major encounters like this one, he goes, well, I was there. I go, where's there? He goes, when you go there, you'll know. I go, oh, come on. Where is there? He goes, I don't know. I go, where did you eat breakfast in the morning when you woke up? He goes, in my bed. Okay, good. I just want to know that. So you were at home, right? He goes, not exactly. Anyway, I'll just proceed. Paragraph A. On July 3rd, he had one of those encounters where I was there, he said. He said, I was taken to an intersection. And oddly enough and gloriously enough, it was the intersection right outside this building. Grandview Road and Blue Ridge. He was taken from his home in a trance dream. I was there. Again, you'll never nail him down on the details. I asked him hundreds of times. He said, oh, quit asking so many questions. I was there. And he was at this corner outside this building. Now, the important part about that is when this happened, our church was in Overland Park, 15, 20 minutes away. And I never heard of this corner. And I would not see it for another year. But he goes, I was over in Grandview on Blue Ridge and Grandview Road. I go, where's that? He goes, it's over there. Trust me, it's there. He goes, and there was a procession. It was starting right there at that intersection, and it was going to Arrowhead Stadium. And many of you know, some of you don't, that if you stay on Blue Ridge right here, you'll go straight on and you'll run right into Arrowhead Stadium. If you don't turn right or left, you just keep marching. It's about 12 miles. He goes, it was a procession from this intersection, the whole 12 miles, whatever, however long, I don't know exactly, to Arrowhead Stadium. He goes, and the streets were lined with people cheering all the way. And again, it's a visionary encounter, but he said it was more than that. But again, I don't know exactly what that means. And he says, and there were thousands of people on each side, and they were walking the parade of people that were paralyzed, and they're pushing their wheelchairs. Those that were blind, and now they're walking, and the deaf and all of these that were healed are walking on their way to Arrowhead Stadium to celebrate. And it says there was a group of young people, and he used the number 35. He wasn't 100% sure about that number. He just kind of, that's the number. And they were carrying the Lord on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you can picture David, and that was the analogy he used in 2 Samuel 6, David created a procession where they carried the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He goes, but the Ark of the Covenant was being carried from this, in this visionary, it's symbolic, it's not really the Ark of the Covenant, that's not the point of it. And Jesus was sitting on the Ark, and they were carrying them on their shoulders on the Ark of the Covenant, and a long list, a line of young leaders were behind it, and they were on their way to Arrowhead Stadium. And the Lord spoke to Bob in this encounter, and he said, in the future, paragraph A, he said, I'm going to raise up young people. Again, this is 1984. He goes, it's many years from now, and I'm going to anoint them. And it's not only young people. I got a lot of folks my age. They go, what about us? I go, hey, no, it counts. Believe God for everything, but just make sure you're serving the young people. Make sure that's your heart attitude. Though believe God for miracles and everything that God's promised you. And so they were marching on their way to Arrowhead, this great festive parade. Everybody was celebrating and magnifying Jesus. In paragraph A, the middle in the message was, in the future, the Lord is going to raise up the young people that were like in this parade carrying Jesus. They're like in the street carrying the Ark of the Covenant, a large number of young people. And the Lord says, I'm going to anoint them with unusual power. And the idea is they'll preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. They'll move in power like in the book of Acts. He said these young leaders were leading the procession. And the people that were healed were behind the Ark of the Covenant. And he, again, he had this idea that it was 35 young leaders. I said, how do you know? He goes, well, it was about 30 or 40. And it was, the Lord spoke to him. He says, they're walking on the highway, though it's Blue Ridge. It's the highway of Isaiah 35, which is called the highway of holiness, if you read Isaiah 35. So he said, it looked like about 35, and it was Isaiah 35. So I'll just, that's the number I think of. Though, you know, that, I don't like specific numbers like that. Just kind of, the Lord's always does it a little bit different than we think. He says these young people were leading this great procession. And multitudes behind the Ark of the Covenant and these 35 young people were multitudes who were healed. Paragraph B. Bob was in the stands and he was very perplexed. He goes, I wasn't in the procession. I was in a hospital gown. And I said, Lord, why am I in a hospital gown? And why aren't I in the procession? Because the Lord showed him it's this young people movement of singers, musicians that you've been prophesying about for years. It's them. Again, we're in Overland Park. He sees us here at this intersection here. And we have no thought of ever going to Grandview. I could assure you that at that time. Bob's in a hospital gown, and so he's injured, and I think the double meaning is it's after his day as well. And his feet were injured, and I think it's interesting that Bob died and his feet were crippled and injured when he died in the hospital gown when the Lord took him home in 2014. And he was aware of that. I mean, he was very aware of this encounter and all of that, and he was encouraged that the vision that he saw was really going to come to pass. Well, the Lord is on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is on it, and they're exalting and magnifying him. And Bob's in the stands celebrating with thousands of people on each side, and he's very sad that he's watching and not actually in the parade, you know, helping to lead it. But again, it was after his day that it would happen. And the Lord tells him, an angel does in the stands, go tell Mike that the Lord is going to let him stand before the Lord. And so it's the Lord speaking through the angel, however all that works, but he's going to stand before me and see this procession. And so Bob comes to me and the next day and he goes, Mike, he goes, you're going to have the experience of your life very, very soon. He goes, you're going to get caught up where I was and you're going to see these young people with your own eyes and you will be overwhelmed at how real this is. Let's read Bob's words, paragraph C. I just took these from a transcription, his own words. Bob says, I don't want to rush through this encounter. It's so dramatic. It's so important. Bob said, these young people in this future movement, this singer, musician, Tabernacle of David, Spirit of the Tabernacle of David that he'd prophesied all these years about, the Lord said, these young ones, they will keep me high and lifted up all of my days. Because he was on that Ark of the Covenant, sitting on it, and he was being lifted up by these young people. He said, these are some of the ones, Bob, in this parade leading, these 35 or these, whatever the number is. I don't want to get big on that number. He says, I'm going to release my power through them in a dramatic way. He said, they'll be leaders. And I'll prepare them in the days to come to bring the glory of God in. And again, and I'm not saying this, some people say, oh, it's so humble. But I mean this, he's going to be doing this sort of thing around the earth. This isn't unique to us. But we are believing for it in our midst. But we're believing for this in Asia, in Russia, in Latin America, and in the islands. Just wherever the Lord is moving, he's going to do dramatic things. But it was this, I got so excited. As Bob was telling me this, he said, these leaders, paragraph C, they will bring the glory of God in. I'm going to use them, these young people. And they'll bring it in through Isaiah 35. And again, most of you know that's the passage that talks about the highway of holiness. He goes, it will be this holiness that is born out of fascination and the beauty of God and the first commandment. It'll be a love-motivated holiness. It won't be grit your teeth and try harder. It will be fascinated by Jesus, connected in that glory of who he is and that abandonment because he loves us. It's the overflow of gratitude to love him back. Paragraph one, the Lord told him in that encounter, I don't know if it's the Lord or the angel. I mean, I've got all the transcriptions, but this was 35 years ago plus. And the Lord said, or the angel said, whichever one, pray Psalm 12:1. He tells him this in this encounter. He says, pray it this way. Psalm 12:1, I have it on the handout here. It says, help, Lord, David prayed it, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful man disappears from among the sons of men. It will be a time of a great apostasy where many would draw back from their commitment to the Lord. And the Lord said, pray, Psalm 12:1, say, help, Lord, for the godly man perishes. And the godly man perishes. Some are martyred. Some are captured away in compromise. And there seems to be not so many lifting their voice. Of course, that was in the days of Psalm 12. He said, or the Lord said it this way. Pray, Lord, we don't have any champions who will lift up only you. And the idea, in the face of opposition, so many back away. The Lord says, I'm going to raise up champions that will not back away. They will lose their life. They will sacrifice everything in their loyal love for me. They will not back away. They will be champions in my kingdom. They're young people. They're young people right now. And as Bob told me, he goes, many of them are not even born yet. In 1984 when he had this. He goes, you'll see, you'll be one of the oldest people in this movement. He goes, it will be after my day. He goes, it's many years down the road. The Lord told Bob, he says, I'm going to answer this prayer. And then he went on and said this other phrase to Bob, pray that your faith fails not. And the idea is that their confidence would not fail. Because if their confidence fails in the Lord's leadership and what he's doing, they'll succumb to fear. Pray that their confidence stays intact and that they will stay resolved. Because if their confidence is there, their faith is there, they won't back down. So Bob said, we are supposed to pray that. And Psalm 12 is just a prayer that, I mean, we don't pray it much at IHOP, but we need to. I've prayed it over the years in our prayer meetings through the years at the church. Paragraph 2, Bob is continuing to talk. He says, the Lord said, many leaders have brought God shame by selling out to immorality, gold, or fame. But the Lord said he's going to raise up young people who will not sell out. Here's the word of the Lord. They will serve the Lord all of their days, and they will be faithful to the end, in the face of opposition, threats of persecution, losing everything, temptation everywhere, difficulty and challenge, they will be faithful all of their days to the end. He says, and you'll see them on that intersection over in Grandview. He's telling me this over and over in Park. He goes, and God's raising up a company of people, and you'll see them even one day on that intersection. And I says, is this literal or figurative? He goes, you never know with the Lord, but I think it's literal. But I said, he goes, you never know with the Lord, but it's actually literal. Look, we're on this. I mean, a year later, we landed in this building in the most unusual way. And when we landed in this building, I saw that intersection. I said, Bob, he goes, I told you. Because Bob didn't pick out the building. It was given to us by a group of men who knew nothing about this. And it was, and I'll tell that story later on. We landed on this intersection. I go, unbelievable. Right next to Harry S. Truman's property. You know, because his property's right across, about 100 yards from here. He had a large farm. I think it was 600 acres total. But part of his property is right across the street. They'll serve the Lord all the days of their life. The Lord says, I'm going to answer that prayer. And the Lord's going to do this. He says, I'm going to bring them. I'm still in paragraph 2 here. He says, many leaders, I'm going to read it again, have brought God shame through selling out. But I'm going to raise up people, young people. 1984, he's saying this. He goes, and again, Bob said, many of them aren't born yet, but they're going to be. And they'll be here. And they'll be over in that area. And they'll be on Truman's property. And they'll serve the Lord all the days of their life. He told me that he's going to bring up young people that God will require they lift him up and nothing else. They're going to lift him up higher than their comfort, their leisure, their big opportunities to make a big name for themselves. They're going to lift him up higher than the opposition is negative. They're going to lift him up higher than the delay is painful. They will lift him up in the face of everything opposing it. You know, I just want to say something about young people. You know, I hear this. You hear this all the time. They say, I hear it sometimes from our own midst, and it's a natural thing to say. They go, well, you know, you got to keep it short, 3 minutes. The social media generation, they don't listen more than 3 minutes. You'll lose them after 3 minutes. And it's this whole thing that all the 20-somethings today can't think longer than 3 minutes or pay attention. They won't go deep. If that Bible study is longer than 7 minutes, you'll lose them. And I want to tell you something. God is raising up a company of young people that will be absolutely fascinated with Jesus. They will go deep in God. They will live in spirit of revelation. They will devour the word hours at a time. And they're not short-circuited in 7-minute, 2-minute, 40-second sound bites. God is raising up a company of young people. I believe it in the earth. And we have a number of them right here in our midst. So when I hear that, I go, you know what? That might be how it is. But I know there's a company of people. And I don't mean just here. It's going to be all over the earth. But I believe for something far greater than the 3-minute attention span generation. They're going to be fascinated with the glory of Jesus. Well, paragraph D, he tells me in July. He goes, the Lord's going to visit you face to face. He told me to tell you, get ready. I go, when? He goes, soon. I go, what do you mean? He goes, he's going to catch you up in the place I was, wherever it was. I was there. I saw it. I was there. I said, no, not me. I'm the storyteller. I lead the prayer room and tell stories about you. He goes, no, you're going to see this with your own eyes. And I'm thinking, okay. You know, I'm 28 years old. I've known Bob a year, and I'm going, you know, I'm not used to me having an experience. I'm used to telling about you and, you know, later Paul Kane and those guys. Well, it happens, paragraph D, one night, a month later, in August 1984. And I'll just say this kind of for whatever reason, some of you will appreciate this. I have a strong reason to believe. I don't know the exact date. But it's somewhere August 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th. Because I've got it narrowed down to that. Because in those days, I wasn't thinking of I was going to tell a story. I was living in the moment. But I have a couple strong reasons to believe. It actually was August 8th. For some reason, August 8th was a date that the Lord visited Bob Jones twice. And it was either August 7th, 8th, or 9th. I've got it nailed down to that. I have a reason to believe it was actually August 8th. I got a couple reasons I'm not going to go into right now. But that's just for the gang that pays attention to those kind of numbers. Well, it's August. I come home from the evening prayer meeting, 10 o'clock at night. The phone rings. My friend Augustine, he goes, Mike, he goes, I know you just walked in the door. He goes, you have to know, you know the visitation God promised you to stand before him? I go, yeah. He goes, what's going to happen tonight? You know, when you hear that, you go like, right. But Augustine, I haven't talked much about him. Had some incredibly accurate words. I mean, him and Bob were actually close friends. The guy from Phoenix, he came many times, and him and Bob became very dear friends, actually. And he never lived here, but he came and visited often. But he called and he said, you're going to have it tonight. He goes, the Lord wants you to know for sure it is tonight. He goes, you'll know, but when it's over, you'll say, that is so surreal. And he goes, I want you to know it's real. I said, okay. Diane said, who is that on the phone? I said, well, it was Augustine. He goes, what did he say? He goes, I'm going to have a heavenly encounter tonight. She goes, tonight? She goes, what do you do? I go, I don't know. I think you go to bed and love Jesus and don't worry about it. I mean, it's not like you're going to grit your teeth and make it happen. So that night, I like to quote 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. I go to bed, and you know, you think it's a little bit hard to fall asleep if you got that hanging over you. You are thinking a bit, like, Lord, is tonight really? So anyway, I fall asleep. And I'm in a dream, and I'm standing in this room. And I know I'm somewhere I'm not familiar with. It's a room I have written here. It's about, I don't know exactly, 50 feet high, 50 feet wide, 50 feet long, something like that. And it's all clouds. And I'm standing there. And I'm saying to myself, where am I at and how did I get here? And I do the tried and true tested, this is a joke, but it is for me, so don't make this a doctrine. I was touching my elbow the whole time. I go, I got an elbow. This is not a dream. I got an elbow. Please don't quote that as a real principle, but I kept touching my elbow. I go, I'm awake. You don't have an elbow in a dream. At least I've never had one. I kept doing this. I really did. I said, I don't know where I'm at. I was in a room and it was all clouds. And it's quite serious after that. And all of a sudden, right, you know, I'm at the left of this voice. It's the voice of the Lord. He speaks. He says, young man. I mean, I'm hearing an audible voice. He goes, if you are impatient, paragraph 8, you will cause great harm and much turmoil to many peoples. I'm hearing a voice. And I keep touching my elbow the whole time. I was going, I'm awake. And he said, and when he said peoples, just in my humanity, I said, the word is people, not peoples. It's not an S. I actually said that in my brain. But it helped me remember very clear. I looked up the Bible, and it is peoples. I was wrong again. But I said that. It's the wrong word. How far can youthful arrogance go? But anyway. But I was so perplexed. You know, I must get out of the humor part of it because it was the most serious encounter I've ever had with the Lord. And I went, besides one other one. But anyway, I'm struck. I go, if I'm impatient, I'll cause much harm and much turmoil. What does this mean? Again, I'm 28 years old. I'm thinking of my future. I go, I don't know what. Impatient in what sense? Because I've always been honored or accused of giving people too much mercy. Like they go, that guy needs to be fired. I go, let's give you one more chance. You know, that person, you ought to set them down. We should be finished. I mean, they were just so divisive. Let's give them one more chance. I've been a let's give them one more chance guy for many, many, many years. And I've been challenged by leaders. You need to hold the line on some of this stuff. And I've been, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't fire people. I don't do it that. I don't cancel people out when they're acting bad. I give him a couple more chances. I think in my mind, I'm not impatient. I think that's what he means. Like, I don't dismiss people. That's not true. I'm very confused. Now, he doesn't mean that. That's not what he means. I'm completely misunderstanding. And I'm there, and a minute or two later, and I still don't know where I'm at. And he says it louder. Young man, more stern. If you are impatient, you will cause great harm and much turmoil to many peoples. And I mean, I'm pained now. I'm going, I'm being rebuked. And I don't understand where I am. I know it's God. I don't know why he's rebuking me. And I don't know where I am. Then he says it the third time. I mean, stronger. Young man! Like, I mean, I'm hurt now. I'm wounded. I'm thinking, I am getting rebuked in a tone of strong correction by the Lord. You will cause great harm and much turmoil to many people. And I'm saying to myself, I don't understand, but I know it's God, so it has to be right. I say that to my, it has to be right. I can't comprehend what it means. I don't write people off. That's almost my weakness. And I'm thinking, I got to get out of this room. I got to get out of this room. Again, I'm not being humorous with that. I just said, this is terrifying. But I started saying to him, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And all of a sudden, the clouds split and I'm falling. I don't know why I'm falling. And I'm falling in darkness, and I am very unnerved. And after I'm falling a little while, then I see a lot of stars. I go, where, what? Because I'm falling down. I don't know where I'm falling from, but I see stars. Then I keep falling. I'm coming fast. And a moment or two later, I look, and right across from me is the moon. I don't have no idea what's going on. Then I keep falling. Then the moon is small and this whole sky of stars. And I look at the duplex we lived in. I'm going super fast right to it. The roof. I go, ah! I scream, ah! And I go like that. I go right through the roof. I hit my bed. I'm completely wide awake. I went, unbelievable. I look at the clock. I see my jeans and my shoes there. I go, I am awake. I started off in a dream. I go, what is going on? And I look at the clock. It says 2:15, the digital. I went, oh, that was intense. One moment, two moments, three moments. Suddenly, whew, I'm standing right back up in that room again. And I am again, this is not funny. I am terrified right now because I was sternly rebuked. And it was a warning for the future. And what he meant by impatient, just I'm getting to it in a minute, but I'll just get into it now. He meant don't quit. Because in the New Testament, the word impatience, the word patience is the same word as perseverance many times. You must persevere, meaning the journey will be long. I didn't know any of that at that time. He was saying the journey's long, you must not quit. That's what he meant. I did not know what that meant. I thought he meant don't fire people or write them off because they fleshed out and, you know, they ended up not keeping their commitments and they were divisive and let's give them another chance, or they stumbled in an area of sin. Let's give them another chance. That's not what the Lord was talking about. He was saying don't quit. I figured that out later. It took me some time to sort that out. So I'm standing back up in that room again. Top of page 2. And I'm back there, and I'm trembling because I just got rebuked, and it was not funny. I mean, I was wounded. I mean, it's interesting sometimes when the Lord gives you some really remarkable things, like my Cairo, Egypt, which was 2 years earlier. He said, I'm going to change the understanding expression of Christianity. I'm going, yes, yes. He goes, you've only said yes. You haven't done it. I'm thinking, ouch. Now, here I am before the Lord. He's saying, you better not quit. You'll cause great harm. Ouch. Why am I got this? Ouch. I had one other very dramatic experience in 1978 with the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, you're saved, but your life was wasted. He was showing me something so he would never say that to me. That's another story for another time. But I thought, Lord, how come I have these ouches every time I get close to you? Because you're so filled with love and tenderness, and it's not every time, that's exaggerated, but those three encounters I had, I was pained. So I'm standing there, top of page two, and I see this long line of chariots, and the clouds separate, and they come up, and one reason I go, because they had the sound of clashing metal. Like if you went to Disney World and one of the rides or something, when the ride comes, it clanging metal, it went, this clanging metal, and this chariot comes. And it was standing right there. And the Lord says, that same voice that said to be patient, he goes, get in the chariot. And I understood that that meant preaching the gospel with power. He said, get in the chariot. Now, this is a little bit humorous, but stay in the spirit of sobriety, actually. I'm not trying to be funny here. But when Bob Jones told me the month before, because this is August and July 3rd, he said, he's going to meet you face to face. You're going to actually stand before him. And I don't know if I could quite believe that. I thought maybe it was a parable or symbolically. I mean, not really. Well, I really did. And he said, when you stand before the Lord, you better have the answer of your heart that you mean. He goes, this is serious. He goes, I've stood there a couple times. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you better have the right answer. If your heart needs to be set. So I was practicing. This is the funny part. But again, I don't want to get into lose the spirit of the sobriety. For the August, July 3rd, when he had that encounter and told me, and he said he's going to visit you soon. I don't know if it's a month or a year. You never know what soon means with the Lord. And so I'm practicing, literally in prayer. You know, when the Lord says, my son, I didn't know what he was going to say. It was nothing like that. You know, what would you have? Give me the double. You know, go for the double. Hit the arrow seven times. Don't hit him three times, you know, like the thing in Kings. Strike many times. Ask for the double. Ask for the triple. I said, okay, Lord, by the grace of God, if Bob is right, I didn't know if it was really right. I thought it maybe be a parable or something. I'm going to ask for the double, like Elisha, you know. He said, prepare your heart to answer the way that you really believe. So I got up there, and the Lord said, get in the chariot. And I fell down, and I was screaming, no, no, no. And he said, get in the chariot. It's been ordained for you. And I'm only telling you this because the message is these other young people that were coming. Because I was 28, I was a young person. He says, this whole company of young people, they're going to have this kind of encounter. And maybe not the same way, but they're going to get this kind of commissioning. And I was going, no, no. And I was crying out to the Lord. I fell down. And I said, I said, Lord, no, it is injustice for a man like me to get in that chariot. And he said, get in. And I said, no. It was opposite of double. I said, it's injustice. I said, for a man like me to get in a chariot like that. And he said, it's ordained for you. And I laid down and two angels grabbed me by the arms. And I remember it because I remember they squeezed my arms and it hurt me underneath here. Both of them, like their thumbs. I went like, ouch. You know, I actually felt it like, hey. I mean, I didn't do that, but I remember distinctly that it hurt. So I got in the chariot. And then I'm sitting there and the chariot takes off into this vast sapphire blue expanse. And if you read in Ezekiel chapter 1 where the Lord's throne was, his throne sits on a blue sapphire expanse. And I was going up and this sapphire expanse was, I don't really know, miles and miles and miles, whatever. And I was saying to myself, This is the revelation of the knowledge of God. This is his heart. This is his ways. This is his word. And so I'm going up into this blue expanse. And I'm going, and the spirit is, it's the word is in me. This is the revelation of the knowledge of God. And as I'm going, I hear the clash again. The same sound I heard when that chariot came. And I looked over my shoulder, and there was the line. You know, Bob Jones said, it was 35. I said, it was less than 50. More than 20. He goes, I think it's that same number. Again, I don't want to play with that number. It was somewhere between 20 and 50. And they were young people in the future of this movement. They were the people that were in that procession that Bob saw the month earlier on July 3rd. When the Lord says, I'm going to show this to Mike Bickle. I'm going to show him these young people. He's going to see them with his eyes. And the clang went, the chariot. And the guy or gal, it's men and women, he fell down and he cried, no, no, exactly like I did. And I'm moving into the blue, then he starts. Then I heard the second cling, cling, the chariot and another person fell down. No, everybody that was called into this was so filled with gratitude and overwhelmed. There was no strutting. There was no manipulation. There was no using it. There was no exploiting it. It was what the Lord told Bob when they were walking in that procession. They will lift me up high. I'm raising up a company of people. And this is going to happen here in this company of people. It's going to happen to old and young alike, but it was focused on young. And again, that's not false humility. This is going to happen around the world. God is going to have a company of people, millions that are going to go all the way with him, deep with him. And so the third one, there's the 20, 30, 40, 50 of them, the group that he saw. Now remember, it's at this intersection at Blue Ridge and Grandview Road, right here. I mean, 50 yards, 50 feet or whatever it is from here. We were on the other part of town. I never even knew of this intersection. Here we are today. God put us here. And again, a year later when he put us here, where two men knocked on my door and gave me this building. A prophetic word says God's going to give you a building. And two men knocked on my door and gave us this building. I said, I ain't got any money. He says, we just want you in it. We'll take your handshake. We'll just take the as the Lord provides. And I went, the reason we didn't have any money, we were over in Overland Park. We had a wealthy congregation, but the Lord told me to give all of our money to the poor and he'd give us a building. So we emptied all of our coffers and then he gave us this building. And this wasn't exactly the building we were thinking about when we were Overland Park. But anyway, that's for another day. So we emptied our coffers, and so we had no money. So these two men gave us this building on this intersection. I just couldn't believe it when I saw that intersection. I went, this is remarkable. Then I went inside the building and went, thank you, Lord. Where am I at? Let me look. Oh, yes. So I'm going up into the blue expanse. And then after the blue expanse is over, I start falling. And I'm falling, and I say to myself, in a minute, a moment, not a minute, because you don't have a sense of time, it's all dark. I'm going to see all the stars. And I keep falling, and I see all the stars. I go, in another moment, I'm going to see the moon. I haven't yet. I keep falling. Now the moon's right. It's like equal to me. It's right over there. I keep falling, and now the moon is little. And the stars, the whole expanse of the sky. And I look over my shoulder in the duplex we lived in. I go, here I go. I go, ah! And I go right through the roof again, and I'm still wide awake. And I look at the clock. Here's the odd thing. It's still 2:15 on the clock. I just went, oh, my goodness. Not because 2:15, just because of the calling. I mean, the whole thing. And I remember my dear friend Sam Storms, he said, I think 2:15 is Joel 2:15. The Lord has said over and over, because Sam was on our staff for some years, he says that we are a Joel's army company of people. It's Joel chapter 2:15, call the fast and the signs and wonders dream. He goes, I believe it's Joel 2:15. I go, That sounds good to me. I'm not sure it is, but that sounded right to me. Paragraph H. What was the Lord warning me about this word patience? It's the word perseverance. He was saying you have to follow through in the obedience. The assignment, the journey, we found out later, the journey is long. We'll look at that another time, where that phrase came from and why it's so significant. It's 50, 60, 70, 80-year journey. I was thinking it was a 10-year journey. You know, we prayed for the revival in May 83, and by, 86, it ought to be touching the nations. By 95, everything is in fullness. By the year 2000, who knows? And the Lord's answer was, no, I don't know these numbers. It's a 50, 60, 70-year journey. Well, for me, when I first met Bob, that's, 35, 36 years ago. So it's starting to go, hey, this thing is adding up. I mean, we're moving on the 40-year mark in just a minute. And the Lord says, no, it's a long journey. You would be one of the oldest people in the movement. Bob says, it's after my days. It's for the young people and their children and their children. They will be in their strength. You'll be an elderly man when it happens. I just didn't do the math on that means we'd be doing this for 50, 60 years. I was thinking, surely, if I'd have known that then, I mean, you got to obey. You love Jesus, but you think, don't tell me that. That's why he doesn't tell you. Because you always hope it's next year. But there's a drought that's about to break over this nation, I promise you. There are promises. There's going to be a procession to Arrowhead Stadium. And it may not be, we got one planned actually next year, the whole way that Arrowhead Stadium came to us and the door is opening. And by the way, that's something in our 21-day fast that we're on right now. We need to pray that, because I talked to Andy Bird, email. He said, get your family there, your spiritual family, to contend, because there's resistance for the right day, because there's other groups that want the day, but we might get the day. And the idea we're aiming for is October 2020 to be in Arrowhead Stadium for the send in and a procession on the way to there. I don't believe that procession is this is that. It's only a down payment. But anyway, that's for another day. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But we need to pray for the Lord to give the breakthrough for that specific day. Paragraph H, it was a warning, the tone of correction. And I look in 2 Corinthians 12, which is a few verses from the verse where Paul says, I was caught up, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Because somebody said, were you in the body or out? I go, I had an elbow, at least I felt one, I don't know, I don't care. I don't care, all I know is I was warned and given a promise. I was promised to get in a chariot, and I was warned not to quit, and I was shown there's a company of young people coming that are going to get in that. That chariot means a commission of the Lord, an invitation to move in that dimension of apostolic power in preaching the gospel. That's what it means to me. But it says in 2 Corinthians 12, a few verses after the verse I quoted about whether in the body or out, it says that the sign of an apostle, and that's, I'm not talking the word apostle, I'm not into those kind of titles or terms. Someone said, are you or what are you? I said, I'm a lover of Jesus. That's who I am. And I tell stories. I do prayer meetings. I teach Bibles. And I love young people. That's what I do. I don't know what I am. It doesn't matter what I am. I don't want to know what I am. I'm a lover of Jesus that does prayer meetings, tells lots of stories, teaches the Bible, and loves on young people. That's who we are. We don't need to know anything else. That's good enough. But my point is, the signs of an established leader that God's going to use in a major way is perseverance. Anybody can get a promise and get excited about the promise for a year, but who can stay with it for 50, 60, 70, 80 years by the grace of God? That's what the Lord said in Cairo. You've not yet done it. You've only said yes. And I said, what is it I haven't done? And then I figured out, I understood, decades of obedience is what it is. What is this paragraph one? He requires perseverance in our faithfulness, in righteousness, and not just the face of temptations, the face of accusations, staying righteous. We're not answering back. Well, I'll tell you the real truth about that guy. The Lord says, no, don't do that. Persevere in righteousness. Don't answer that. You love your enemies. You don't take them on. Yeah, but they said, and it's not true. No. Don't get in that spirit. Well, they're believers. Yeah, but they're not in the kingdom spirit. Persevere in righteousness. You bless your enemies, even if they're in the household of faith and they're not giving you what you want. You bless them and wait on God. Perseverance and diligence. Lord, the promises in this setting, it's 36 years later. He goes, just stay with it. Just stay with it. Stay with it for 70 years if it goes there. Faithfulness to his values. Yeah, but there's mistreatment. There's obstacles. Those values are, there's mundaneness. Doing this, our sacred trust, being in the prayer room when nobody knows or nobody cares because God cares and God sent you here and told you to do it, not because you're going to get promoted if you're there and you're seen, because God sees you. It's perseverance in our faithfulness. Loving people. Being true to the gospel in the marketplace, all these places. Paragraph E, and I mean, you could go on this list. In the face, perseverance, endurance to the end. What if they take our money one day? What if they take our buildings? What if they throw us in prison? What if they take our lives? That's going to happen in the generation the Lord returns. And I believe we're in the early days of that. We must persevere to the end because of love. And that's what he said. You must not quit. You must not be impatient. You cannot cave in because it's long, because it's hard, because it's mundane, because people accuse, because people quit, because people lie, because the money's not as much as you want, because the promises are delayed. You must not quit. And I'm giving that same word to anyone in this room and anyone listening to us that has the faith to take hold of that word for their own life. If you, in the grace of God, go, that's for me, take it. If you go, well, then ask the Lord again next year about it, if it's for you. I'm not putting it on anybody, but some of you, many in this room, your heart is, you have grace. You go, that word is for me. I am not going to be impatient, and I'm not quitting. Paragraph 2, this is negative, but I just want to say it. I've been, again, in this journey in Kansas City for 36 years, I've seen many. After the Cairo, I've been talking about the Cairo values for the 37 years now at Cairo values. I think my numbers are right, something close to that. But anyway, I've watched many. I've seen this room filled many times in the last 35, 38, 7 years. Many times. The room is filled, and the company says, yes! And 5 and 10 years later, I mean, they fully bought into the narrative, the values. And 5 and 10 years later, they're in a different situation, different place. You don't have to be here. But don't let go of the narrative and don't let go of the values. I mean, it's the kingdom narrative. I don't mean the Kansas City narrative, the kingdom. And don't let go of the values. I've seen many accept the values. And over time, they slowly drift from them. They get older. They get busier. They get wealthier. They get more well-known. And they let go of the values. The Lord said, you must not let go of the values. And there's a whole bunch of you that are saying, yes, that's for me. I'm going to give you one more encounter that Bob Jones had, Roman numeral 2. It's called The Sands of Time. That's what I called it. In January 1979, before I met him in 83. But he told me this story many, many times. Oh, he told all of his stories many, many times, which I loved. Because people were coming from around the world and lines of people. And they said, how did it happen? What did he say? And so the Lord was actually, I was in so many of those meetings saying, hey, little guy, I'm helping you remember. You're hearing it over and over. You need to remember this because it might be, I didn't know it then, it might be 50, 60 years. So I heard the stories over and over and over and over again, which I'm grateful for. In the time, I was going, again, another group of leaders, and we're going to tell the whole story again. And even when people come and visit me at IHOP from all around the world, they want to hear the story. Hey, we heard the prophetic history. Tell us. And I don't mind it because every time I tell them, it marks my heart. I mean, I hope the Lord's touching them, but it's marking me every time. Every time I tell, I've told it, I'm making up this number, like 100 times to leaders since IHOP started. I tell this story over and over in back rooms. And they're going, wow, we'll get that series. And I leave the room going, Lord, I'm really going for this. Thank you for making me say this over and over. And that's why folks that have been around here, some folks have heard the stories over and over, and others, And I'm not putting you down for this. They go, I'm not really into that. I'm telling you, this is not my story. This is our story, and it's not our story. It's the kingdom of God's story. It will look different in every city and region, but it's the same realities. Jesus is going to be magnified in this way all over the earth by a billion people. So it's way bigger than my story or your story, but it is your story. And you want to know it. It's like, well, that's Mike's deal. He's really into that. Like, no, I'm into it. I love Jesus, but I love you. I'm into it for you and your children. Well, I mean, I love Jesus too. I mean, that's the big reason, but that's not just it. We're contending for a generation that's 10 and 12 and 15 years old right now, and maybe after that as well. I mean, who knows how long this is going to go? The sands of time. I'll give you this one, then we'll end. January 7, 1979. Again, I meet Bob Jones in 83, so this is a story I heard him say over and over. And the core message was, the Lord took Bob to an ocean side. He called it the sands of the ocean. And again, I said, was that a dream? He goes, I was there. I go, what's that mean? He goes, when you go there, you'll know where there is. That's what he always told me. But he was there, whatever that means. And the only time I was ever there was the one I just told you about. And other than that, I don't know, you know. And so he told him a group of young people are going to come forth after his day. And he was showing him the sands of the sea. He was there on the beach. This is paragraph B from Bob's own words. Because it's about the calling on the young people. That's the core message. Bob says, the Lord took me in a vision, paragraph B, to the sands of the sea and called it the sands of time. Somewhere in the vision, the Lord or an angel called it the sands of time, because we know that the sea speaks of the nations of the earth, if you look in the book of Revelation and other places. Paragraph B, Bob says, I saw leaders through the generations. He was watching, and I'm just making up these names, not exactly, but guys like John and Charles Wesley in the First Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, David Brainerd, you know, Charles Finney, the Second Great Awakening, D.L. Moody, John G. Lake after that. All of these different men and women that God used, many throughout history, he saw many of them on the beach in this visionary form. And they put their hands in the sand and they would get a box. They would open the box. They would open it. It was empty. And Bob was watching them, and each one of them would say, they would look at it and they would say, paragraph B at the end, they would say, Lord, is this the time for the end time generation? Is this the time that you're recruiting the end time army? They would open the box and it was empty. And the answer inadvertently was, no, this isn't the generation yet where I'm sending out the draft notices for the end time army. And Bob heard them one by one saying, Lord, is this now? And then they opened the box, it was empty. Then the Lord pulled him over to one part of the beach and said, Bob, put your hands in there. And Bob says, Lord, I mean, all of them, their boxes are empty. Why do you want me to do this? He pulled up a box. And the Lord says, open it. And he says, but Lord, I know they're all empty. Look, you know, 8 or 10 in a row. I don't know the real number, but a number of these leaders that he saw in this visionary state. The Lord said, open up the box. And he put his hand in the sand, pulled the box, and he was surprised. The box was full of draft notices. And he pulled out one of them, and it said, greetings, you have been drafted into the army of God, but the idea for the end times. He saw this, draft notices. And the Lord spoke to Bob in that visionary encounter in January 79. He goes, I'm going to send out these draft notices to young leaders all around the world. I'm going to start enlisting them into my end time purposes. And he was telling Bob, this is what your prophetic ministry, this is your assignment, not your only assignment, but a very, very important one, to you get this group in Kansas City with 24/7 singers and musicians, you get them stabilized on the right values. And Bob was here for 10 years, totally focused on this place. Then he moved over to the East Coast. Bob said, I'm still in paragraph B. I'm going to send out these draft letters to my leaders. And he told him many of them are very young, and many of them are yet in the future. I'm going to call people from all over the world, and I'm going to begin in earnest to call them in 1979. Where were you in 1979? Half of IHOP says, not born yet. That's a good answer, because the Lord spoke. Many of them are not born yet. But here's what the Lord told him. Here's the part that touches me. He said, Bob, in the next generation, the Lord says, look at paragraph C. I'm going to bring forth the best of the bloodlines of many, many families through history. I'm saving the best of their bloodlines for the generation that my son returns. And he's told them, he said, they will move in a measure of the Spirit beyond all the other generations, far beyond all the other revivals. And the Lord says, I'm saving the best of the bloodlines, for out of the sands of time I have called them for such a time as this. And he said, Bob, this is your assignment, to touch some of these early leaders in your day, but this will happen after your day. But out of the sands of times, I have ordained this coming generation to be the best of the bloodlines of their generation, to move in holiness and power and to magnify Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's stand before the Lord. I want some of you, I mean, many of you, all of you, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then we're not going to have a ministry time. We're just going to be before the Lord. Because we got a lively prayer room down the road. It's a good place to go. Could just stand up for a moment. Just take a deep breath. Here's the two prayers I'm going to pray. Ask you. The Lord says, do not be impatient. He told me that. I'm not saying he's saying that to everybody. But some of you, you have grace to say, I'll take that. I'm not yielding. I don't care how long the journey is. I don't care the obstacles. I don't care who isn't giving me the promotion that I deserve. Who's not giving me the notoriety and the money. I am not taking no for an answer. I'm going to stay steady. You don't have to stay here in this city, in this ministry, but you want to stay in the end time narrative with the values. And I tell you, if you're a true kingdom person, which the whole room is full of them, you are going to get mistreated by Christians. You are going to be overlooked. And the promise is not all of them will be delayed. There will be demonic obstacles. And the Lord's going to test your love in your faith. Are you in it for the notoriety and the excitement of the power? Or are you in it because it's right, because it's what Jesus wants? If you're in it because it's right, you won't quit when it gets hard. He might put you in other cities and other nations, but you're sticking with it. You're going to be IHOP, intercession. You're going to build houses of prayer wherever you go. IH, holiness of heart, first commandment, radical obedience, above and beyond what he's asked. IHO, offerings for the poor. You're going to take your finances. You're going to spend less on yourself. You're going to give more to the poor, not just the poor for food, but the poor who are preaching the gospel in the nations, for food too. But we're praying for our brethren and sisters in the nations that need money from America. So, offerings, living a simple lifestyle for the sake of others. And not everybody, some people are in a situation where that doesn't work because of family situations, whatever. But in your spirit, you can say, that's my value. And P, persevering, prevailing faith, the prophetic promises. You're not drawing back on them just because the decades unfold. I've been believing stuff now 36, however it is, 37 years. I'm not drawing back by the grace of God. If it's 70 years and we don't see the fullness of it, I'm not drawing back by the grace of God. Not because I want to win, because it's right. It's right. I might not see everything in my day. I don't know. I just know it's right not to quit. That is what is right, and that is pleasing to the Lord. So we're saying that to the Lord. And then the second thing I'm saying, you can't really do much with this, but I'm going to prophesy out over some of you that out of the sands of time, God has ordained you in this hour as the best of your bloodline, of your whole bloodline throughout history. And I could say this to several million other people across the earth in other ministries as well. So here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. I say yes. Lord, I say I'm not going to quit. The money isn't what I want it to be. The delay, the obstacles, the recognition, the honor, the being treated the way I want. I am not quitting by the grace of God, Jesus. So just talk to him for the next 30, 40 seconds about that. I'm not quitting. Lord, it's not about me having a breakthrough ministry. I mean, I might, and I actually will. I know I will, but that's not the point. It's for the young people coming after me. We're laboring for them. Many of them are 8 and 10 and 12 years old. We're laboring for them and for us as well. Many of you in this room, you are of the best of the bloodline. You say, oh, Lord, I'm so weak. Your bloodline was weak. The Lord said, there's grace to enter into wholeness, to victory, to the first commandment lifestyle, Sermon on the Mount, pouring yourself out in community and serving others. The Lord says, there's grace to walk out the best of your bloodline of all the generations. Thus says the Lord. That's what the Lord is saying over this generation. And Lord, we say thank you. We say thank you. We'll just wait another moment or two, just as the Lord's resting on some of you. And many of you, like me, I don't know the number, but a number of young people, you're going to be called into that. I don't mean you'll see a chariot. I don't know about all that stuff, but you'll get the commission that that chariot speaks of. It was for the young people of this movement. And you're saying, Lord, it's injustice for a person like me, but I'll say yes out of gratitude and humility and love. I'll say yes. I don't deserve it. I've had people tell me, oh, you've paid the price. I go, no, don't say that to me. I remember that conversation with the Lord. Don't tell me about paying the price. It's injustice for a man like me to be in a movement like this. I don't deserve to be in this room with a group of people like you, and neither do you. Here we are, Lord. It's injustice, but we do say yes. We're grateful, no matter how hard it is, how long it is, how many obstacles, how many people hate us, the stigma we bear, it is worth it. We don't deserve this kind of invitation from you. I mean, I look at this room, just staying in a prayer attitude, there are so many noble people in this room from all over the earth that ended up in this room right now in this hour. They all made journeys that were costly, and their families were not happy, and their economics were very challenging. I mean, we left St. Louis. We love St. Louis. We love the community. We cried coming here. We know about crying to come here. I mean that. The Lord says, no, I got something in Kansas City. I want you there. I said, Lord, no. Yes, you must go to Kansas City. And many of you were called to that in different ways at different times. And many were called here and sent to another place by the exact same spirit that called them here. And we're really into that. I'm not into everybody staying here. I'm into everybody staying with the biblical narrative of the end time bridegroom, king, and judge with the values of the Sermon on the Mount. We're into that, the narrative and the values. We're not into you being here. We're asking God to raise up millions that enter into this stuff, unrelated to us. Here we are, Lord. Lord, release your spirit even now. I ask you, Holy Spirit, just to come and rest on us. Mark us fresh right now. Come like fire, Lord. Lord, we're on this 21-day Daniel fast. Give dreams and visions because we need them. We need a fresh commission, a fresh word. We need a fresh vision of you. We need dreams and visions because our hearts are aching for more. We need more because we're weak. We have need of more of the Spirit's operation in us. The Lord says, yes, for such a time as this, I see your hunger. I will meet you. I will visit you. Do not draw back. Lord, we're in need of help, but we're grateful. Release dreams and visions in this room, in these next weeks, new commissions, new fresh revelation of the beauty of Jesus, new resolve to bless our enemies and to love those who do not love us. A new loyalty to the written word of God. Beloved, I don't buy any prophetic word that it does not honor the written word of God. I am a Bible. I'm a written word of God, final authority. I don't care what prophet had what dream. If it doesn't honor the word of God, I'm not interested in it. Lord, a new loyalty, a new hunger for the written word of God all over this room. those that listen to this in the days to come through the internet, etc. Come like wind. Come like fire, Lord. More, Lord. Lord, mark this group of 20-year-olds that are with us, these 20-somethings. They're up on the GPR stage, Lord, that are in the IHOPU and the internships. They're serving these young 20-somethings. Mark them. Our teens. Lord, the 30s that were in their 20s a minute ago, they're still young people. Mark them, Lord. Mark them. This is what it's about. This is what you spoke about for this day. Like anybody that's 20s or younger and you want to be prayed for, come on up here. Come stand up here if you want to. You say, well, I'm turned 30 last week. I don't care. Just come up here. It doesn't matter. You're just saying yes. You're saying yes. This is my story. Beloved, this is not Mike Bickle's story. This is your story. This is not my story. It is my story, but it's yours. It's a story for millions. You don't got to be in Kansas City for this story to be yours. All of our beloved thousands that were here are over there in the nations, and we are so proud of so many of them. We rejoice that God has called our very best. I think of people like Wes and Carol Hall in Germany, our very best, and the Martins in St. Louis, and the Roberts, and just go on and on. I just go down the whole list. I mean, there's hundreds. They're our best. They're sent other places because the Lord wants to entrust something to them. So we like that. We're into that. I want some of the older folks to come on up for a few minutes. You define who you are, and let's pray for these younger folks. This is really about them, but it's really, they're going to be the old folks in a little while. It's really about their children, honestly. I'm not being funny. It's about their children. It's about them and their children. And we're going to be elderly when this thing comes. And this group and their children, this age group and their children, this thing is about them. Lord, here we are, Marcus. Lord, mark a little David Cairo over there. Mark him, Lord. Mark it with the spirit that was on Daniel, Lord. Release the spirit of grace on our children, on these young people right here. Beloved, you're going to be the spiritual moms and dads, you 20-year-olds. You are the spiritual moms and dads in a minute. This thing is going, you're going to carry it. It's not just the old guys. You are going to carry this as moms and dads. I know your mind's not around that yet, but it will pretty soon. You'll be carrying this. I was 27 years old. When the Lord, all this happened to me, I was your age. And I thought, I'll never be 40. You'll be 40 in a minute, and you'll be the moms and dads of this movement. It's time now to press in. Sing to you. More, Lord. More, Lord. I ask for grace. I ask for liberty from pain, from pornography, from bitterness, from depression. Beloved, there's freedom. There's forgiveness for all that stuff. There's a new day for every one of those things. The devil's lied to some of you. It's too late. I've gone too far. No, you haven't. You get free from all that stuff and get anointed and be like me. Lord, it's an injustice for you to use someone like me. The Lord says, that's what I do. I'm the God of extravagant mercy. It's people like you he's going to use. Anything you want.
More of you in my life.
Thank you, Brandon.